Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our text for today, the apostles have a dilemma. One of their own, Judas, committed suicide after betraying Jesus, and their number has been diminished to 11 from the original 12. Peter goes back in our text from Acts and quotes Psalm 109:8, where it is clearly prophesied that what Judas did would happen. It also prophesies that it would become necessary for somebody to come in and take his place. Peter then takes it upon himself to move the group to action to select Matthias to take Judas' place among the 12. This account is certainly historical, but did you notice that there are no overt or direct statements anywhere that confirm this decision was of God? We hear nothing about Peter having a vision or a dream and God guiding him through such to do this. Now later in Acts chapter 10, Peter would be granted a vision by God to indicate that the gospel is to be brought to the Gentiles. He will then proceed to the house of Cornelius, the Roman centurion of the Italian regiment in Caesarea, and preach the gospel to them. So why no divine dream or vision here for something as important as the selection of an apostle? Was this action of Peter and the other 10 truly of God? Someone suggests that Paul was supposed to be the apostle that he eventually rounded out the number to 12 again and took Judas' place. After all, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9, where Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." It's clear from this verse that Paul considered himself another apostle. And his apostleship was indeed of God and his grace. So what of Matthias, chosen by the remaining original apostles to fill the place of Judas? Okay, well, this is where we come to your bulletin insert for the day. In Acts chapter 1, verse 2, at the very top, we see the word apostles at the very beginning of chapter 1 appear as Matthias is selected to round out the 12. Shortly thereafter, in chapter 2, verse 1, down here, we see the word apostle appear again. It says they were all together when the day of Pentecost occurred, which is a reference back to the, well, in 2:1, to the original 12 apostles mentioned in 1:26. In Acts chapter 2:42, the new believers of the Pentecost are said to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is the final appearance of the word apostles in these two chapters. These three appearances of the word apostles bracket this portion of Scripture, this piece of dialogue or discourse in Acts. And I believe that this indicates that the focus of chapter 1, verse 1 to the end of chapter 2, just about, which is the conclusion of Peter's Pentecost Day message, is on the apostles. Therefore, everything which happens at Pentecost with the tongues of fire, the speaking of foreign tongues, is happening to the 12 apostles, which now has Matthias numbered among them. In this case, even though Peter stepped out in faith to act on the prophecy from Psalm 109:8, without overt guidance from God in the form of a dream, a vision, a voice from heaven directing him to do this, God appears to allow the remaining apostles' choice of Matthias as an apostle to stand. What does this mean for us today? It means that when it comes to transitions in life, hard decisions, God does not always grant us a miracle. God doesn't always cause the Bible to fall open at just the right verse that we need at that moment and direct our eyes to it. God doesn't necessarily give us a vision or a dream or a voice from some deeply spiritual mentor to guide us. Although all of these things could happen today, certainly. And this sometimes bothers us. Why can't God make his will more clear, we think? And in these moments, maybe we feel a little bit like Alice in Wonderland when she talks to the Cheshire Cat. The discussion they have is very revealing. "Cheshire Puss," Alice began rather timidly, "would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" "Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to," said the cat. "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. "So long as I get somewhere," Alice added as an explanation. "Oh, you're sure to do that," said the cat, "if you'll only walk long enough." Alice felt that this could not be denied, so she tried another question. "What sort of people live here?" "Well, in that direction," said the cat, waving his right paw, "lives a hatter. And in that direction, waving his other paw, lives a March Hare. Visit either one you like, they're both mad." "But I don't want to go among mad people," Alice remarked. "Oh, you can't help that," said the cat. "We're all mad here." "I'm mad? You're mad." "How do you know that I'm mad?" said Alice. "You must be," said the cat, "or you wouldn't have come here." Do we sometimes feel like Alice and believe that God is acting a little bit like the Cheshire Cat with us? Alice in Wonderland, a simple fairy tale, yet very revealing about human nature. Perhaps even more revealing about our faith, about how we handle change, and how we deal with the unknown or the future. In this story, we notice three things. First, Alice has just entered a whole new and unfamiliar world and does not like the uncertainty of it. Her life has changed and is out of control. Like Alice, we don't like it when God puts us on hold or throws us into situations we can't control. Number two, Alice doesn't know where she wants to go, but she just wants to get out of Dodge and fix her situation so she's back in control of things. Like Alice, we often aren't really certain where God wants us to go next, although we're fairly certain it should be someplace fairly comfortable and free of any unnecessary pain and suffering. A situation with clarity and a well-defined sense of purpose, or so we think. Number three, Alice doesn't like to admit who and what she really is, and that she is no better than all the other crazies around her. She thinks she's something special and certainly deserves a little more respect than this cat is giving her. Like Alice, we like to see ourselves as better than this and not deserving of God putting us in the waiting room or on hold for a while or sending us back into training. We certainly don't appreciate God sitting there like the Cheshire Cat, not giving us immediate answers, but simply asking that we trust Him. Faith. We experience helplessness and fear. We're afraid of the pain if we make a wrong decision or we choose the wrong road. And so we retreat into our safe little world of denial and helplessness. It's a facade we put on which makes people feel sorry for us and not expect too much of us. If people don't expect too much of us, then we don't have to risk giving of ourselves or the possibility of re-experiencing the pain of yet another failure. Whether it's a job change, graduation, making a choice of a college, loss of a friend or loved one, a relationship change, retirement, or a change in health. We are surrounded by change, and along with it comes difficult decisions and uncertainty about the future or the outcome of a course that we have chosen in life. The solution? God first calls us to face the pain of the uncertain and the future and not run from it. We live in a sinful world, and it's not God's goal or desire to protect us from all pain. God can and will occasionally provide a miracle, but He's not obligated to, and oftentimes doesn't. We'll never grow spiritually if He did. We'll never exercise our faith and grow in that faith relationship to our Savior if everything is too easy. Sometimes God's first call is not to action, but to hurry up in the present and simply trust Him and wait for His timing, We've all heard that put out as a spiritual truth. Or sometimes, as in our text for today, when we put our questions and concerns to God in prayer, when we've bared our soul to Him, revealed our fears and pains, when the suspense is upon us and a decision is required, when we are confronted with moving on and stepping into the unknown and something we may not be able to control, well, there comes a time when we simply have to trust God. Take what God has revealed to us, make a prayerful decision, act on it, and step out in faith. After all, in the final analysis, that is what our future eternal hope rests on, is faith. So why not also our present existence as we head that way? We must have faith in a gracious and sovereign God who can take any action or decision we make, right or wrong, good or bad, and use it to His glory and our best interests. Just as God, without a miracle, honored the 11 apostles' step of faith in selecting Matthias by not negating it, so He honors our faith now and into eternity. In our walk with God, it's all grace and faith from beginning to end. We're not going to climb the goalposts of life and heave ourselves over the crossbar for a heavenly goal, folks. We're not going to make it to heaven someday based on our own efforts and righteous living. You know, we asked my professor in seminary, Norbert Mueller, once, is there any song out there which really teaches us clearly about the great teaching of the justification of the sinner before God? And I'm sure some of you recognize this song. Country singer Bobby Bear captured this well in the words of his song, which go, "Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life, end over end, neither left or the right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights, drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life." Folks, in the end, when it comes to getting to heaven, God's going to drop kick us there. This is a picture of grace. The Bible says, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A Jesus who, when given the choice, chose to die for us in spite of the pain and cost to Him, this is a Savior to put our faith in. A God who would love sinful people like us, a God who would send His Son to the cross to die for all, is a Heavenly Father to be trusted. He's also a God that can be trusted to take our decisions, circumstances, and work them for our good and His greater plans. We believe that He will take our most uncertain moments, those moments when we feel out of control, when the future and change scare us, and He will be our God. He will love us. He will bring us spiritual peace. He will take our steps of faith, which itself comes from Him, and bless them. He tells us in the words of the prophet Jeremiah, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses only our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.